Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, November 19th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Tree Time, Annual Festival of Trees Spreading Holiday Cheer in New Location Online, by Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. A change in venue couldn't crush the holiday spirit this year at the Festival of Trees, as visitors followed the Peppermint Lane into the trees and online. We love going every year, said Chris Baker of Bloomington, who stopped by with her daughter Abby on Wednesday afternoon. It gets you in the festive mood, and it makes me excited to go home and decorate. The 27th annual festival looks a little different this year. It moved into the former MC Sports location in Eastland Mall while the Interstate Center is occupied for coronavirus testing. But the space was filled with a beautiful selection of trees, wreaths, and gingerbread. Jessica Shaw, coordinator of development operations for the Baby Fold and coordinator for the Festival of Trees, joked that by now they've probably planned for 10 different versions of the festival, adjusting for changes related to the COVID-19 pandemic. To keep in line with new health and safety guidelines announced this week, the Festival of Trees will close to in-person visitors at 8 p.m. Thursday. The online auction will continue as planned until 8 p.m. Saturday, with curbside pickup from noon to 6 p.m. Sunday. We knew that at any time we would have to be flexible and to change plans, Shaw said. We're an agency that cares about the well-being of children and families, so we don't want to encourage people to do something unsafe. The online auction at festivetrees.org has seen more than 1,000 registered bidders, and our list of items with no bids gets smaller and smaller every time we check, Shaw said. For the Baby Fold's largest fundraiser of the year, 33 7-foot trees, 60 4-foot trees, 50 trees 2 feet tall or shorter, and more than 100 wreaths, gingerbread houses, centerpieces, and other holiday decorations went on display Monday morning and were available for bidding at the beginning of the festival. People are excited, Shaw said. They're bidding. They're happy to participate in a virtual way. Some of those who visited the festival in person weren't planning to get lost in the trees, but were pulled in by the lights and decorations anyway. I came in the mall door and this was here, and I thought, well, this is something I want to see, said Joy Wall, who recently moved to Normal. It's fantastic. Wall said she was happy to see some local businesses sponsoring more than one tree among the Enchanted Forest, bringing in more money for the Baby Fold. 6-year-old Maddie Kreider was especially drawn to a white Christmas tree decked out in all things Frozen, with plenty of Anna, Elsa, and Olaf ornaments. Maddie and her mom, Nicole Diaz, were just getting out of the house to do some shopping on a free day off from school when they stumbled upon the festival. We just saw it, and it looked really pretty, Diaz said. This is my first time ever, but it caught our eye. All the lights, all the trees. Shaw said capacity inside the festival was kept under 25%, and the peppermint stickers that lead through the trees encourage visitors to maintain distance between other groups. Amy Beam, Vice President of Development and Public Relations for the Baby Fold, said many of those keeping an eye on the big ticket items wanted to be sure to stop by to see their potential winnings in person. The gingerbread houses are the big draw from the bakers, especially since their neighbor, Gene Kaufman, overlooks the gingerbread village. Some festival traditions weren't possible under COVID restrictions, including family meals and the children's play area. But the bakers said they were glad to see the festival still happening in some form. Chris Baker said she was thrilled when she found out the Babyfold was still hosting the festival, and Abby added she would have been disappointed if it had been canceled this year. And a sidebar tells us, if you go, what? 27th Annual Festival of Trees. When? 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, November 19th, and online through Saturday, November 21st. Where? Former MC Sports location in Eastland Mall, 1615 East Empire Street, Bloomington, and online at festoftrees.org. More information? Admission is free in person, and bidders are asked to visit the online auction site. The next story is entitled, Bloomington Normal Zoo Museum Receive Grants. Agencies split $1.3 million to fund new exhibits. By Pantograph staff. Springfield. Two Bloomington Normal Museums are among 43 Illinois institutions to receive a portion of $22.8 million in state capital investments to improve their facilities and develop new exhibits. Miller Park Zoo in Bloomington will receive $750,000 toward Phase 1 of a South America project. The Town of Normal's Children's Discovery Museum Foundation has been granted $568,700 for a Lucky Climber exhibit. The grants are part of the Illinois Public Museum Capital Grants Program, funded through Governor Pritzker's Rebuild Illinois multi-year state capital program. Our public museums help tell the story of Illinois from the founding and cultural heritage of local communities to our place in the world today, Governor J.B. Pritzker said. This grant program is making investments in local museums that will allow them to attract more visitors, to foster important research, and to tell important stories for generations to come. The Illinois Public Museum Capital Grants Program is open to any museum operated by local government or located on municipally owned land. The maximum grant award was $750,000, and matching funds are required in many cases based on museum attendance levels. The next article is headlined, Health Official, County Faces Difficult Winter. Vaccination plans in works as COVID numbers climb. By Paul Sweech. Bloomington. McLean County's COVID-19 positivity rate and hospitalizations rose again on Wednesday, and the county's top public health official warned that Central Illinoisans could face a very difficult winter. The positivity rate in our county and across our region continues to rise, said Jessica McKnight, administrator of the County Health Department. We are experiencing substantial community spread, and most concerning, we have seen hospitalizations increasing, threatening to strain our healthcare system as we are entering flu season and going into what is shaping up to be a very difficult winter. Meanwhile, the health department has begun planning for when a limited number of doses of COVID-19 vaccine becomes available for staff and residents in long-term care facilities and critical workforce members who provide health care and other essential functions of society, said David Hopper, Health Department Emergency Preparedness Coordinator. We do not yet have a concrete time frame of when vaccines will be available in McLean County for those populations, Hopper said Wednesday. Based on the recent news from Pfizer and Moderna, It seems that a late December or early January estimated time frame is likely. But a vaccine may not be available for the rest of the population until spring or summer 2021. Though we have the hope ahead of a vaccine around the corner, we still have a long way to go, McKnight continued. The priority now should be what each one of us can do to help save the lives of our neighbors, family, and friends. What smart choices can we make to help slow the spread? If we don't take this seriously now, we will see more sickness, and sadly, more people will die from this virus or because there are not hospital beds or healthcare professionals available. McKnight reported Wednesday that 22 McLean County residents were hospitalized with COVID, four more than on Tuesday. Bloomington Normal Hospitals report that 72% of intensive care unit beds and 78% of hospital beds overall are occupied, she said. Bloomington Normal's hospitals have surge capacity plans if patient numbers continue to increase. But hospital administrators have warned that increased hospitalizations could follow the rise in COVID cases. McKnight reported 122 new COVID cases, meaning McLean County has had 7,008 confirmed cases of the virus since March 19th. McKnight also reported McLean County's 46th COVID-related death, a man in his 60s who was not associated with a long-term care facility. Another 1,516 people were isolating at home on Wednesday, and 5,424 have recovered from the virus since March. But McLean County's 7-day positivity rate, the percent of people tested for the virus in the previous week who have tested positive, continued its rise. The rate was 14.9% on Wednesday, compared with 14.1% on Tuesday, McKnight reported. Of the more than 122,300 tests of county residents since March, 5.7% have come back positive for the virus. The science is simple, McKnight said. The virus spreads from person to person, and if you are not in the physical presence of other people, the virus cannot spread. Stay at home as much as possible, wear a mask, follow guidance for isolation and quarantine, wash your hands, and practice social distancing. McKnight asked that people who test positive for the virus not wait to hear from a health department contact tracer to begin their isolation, which should be at least 10 days. People who have been within 6 feet of a person with a confirmed case of COVID for at least 15 minutes should quarantine for 14 days. McKnight said the health department has 34 contact tracers and intends to hire another 21 by the end of the year. Hopper said guidance from state and federal officials indicates that critical workforce members who would be prioritized to receive a vaccine could include workers in the following sectors: chemical, communications, critical manufacturing, emergency services, energy, financial services, food and agriculture, government facilities, healthcare and public health, information technology, transportation, and water and wastewater systems. The health department will be identifying points of contact within each sector to send pre-vaccine education and notices of vaccine availability, Hopper said. Depending on the number of critical personnel and the amount of vaccine available, the health department may have to prioritize within sectors. Hopper also said that the health department has distributed about 4,200 Binax Now antigen rapid COVID tests to long-term care facilities and healthcare providers. Statewide, Illinois Department of Public Health reported 8,922 new COVID cases and 140 additional deaths, bringing the totals since March to 606,771 cases and 11,014 deaths. As of Tuesday night, 5,953 Illinoisans were hospitalized with COVID, with 1,146 in ICU and 547 on ventilators. The 7-day statewide COVID positivity rate was 11.9%. The next story is entitled, Ameren Halts Utility Shutoffs. Bloomington. Ameren, Illinois is suspending service disconnections for residential customers, it was announced Wednesday. The company is implementing the winter shutoff moratorium early because of current and forecast low temperatures and the recent increase in coronavirus cases, Ameren said. In September, Ameren, Illinois had extended the moratorium on disconnections for customers with adverse health conditions, including a household member recovering from COVID-19, customers who are eligible for assistance from the state's low-income home energy assistance program, and customers experiencing hardship caused by COVID-19. Ameren suggests that customers experiencing financial challenges take steps to save energy and continue to pay whatever they can afford in order to avoid falling too far behind on their energy bills. More information on the services and programs that are available to help customers impacted by COVID-19 is available at amerenillinois.com/recovery. Here's another story on the front page entitled, U-High Graduate Plays in France, Stonewall Adjusting to Life Language Game, by Jim Benson. One roster on the internet for the USO Mondeville women's professional basketball team in France lists number 4 as Sung Stonewall. Let Chant Stonewall explain. I always knew my name was French. I always knew chanter meant to sing. It, sung, is the past tense verb, said Stonewall, a university high school graduate, on a call this week from France. They always ask me, can you sing? I say no. I sing, but it's not very good. Stonewall, who graduated from DePaul in the spring after a stellar 4-year career with the Blue Demons, arrived in France on October 1st to play for USO Mondeville in the city of Mondeville, which is in the Normandy region of northwestern France. The COVID-19 global pandemic currently has France in a lockdown, but professional sports are allowed. However, Stonewall's team already had 2 games canceled when a player on the opposing team tested positive. The 6'1" Stonewall has only played in 2 games thus far, recording 15 points in one game and 11 rebounds in another. But she's already learned that while there might not be as many games, there is practice, practice, practice. I'm not familiar with 2-a-days. At DePaul, we knocked out our 4-hour block all in 4 hours, she said. Here, we practice 2 hours and come back for another 2 hours, or practice for 3 hours and come back for another 3 hours. It's a little different because I would rather get the 4 to 6 hours out of the way altogether. That's something I have to get used to. With quarantine, we're not sure when we're going to get to play again. Our next game is scheduled for this Friday. Stonewall is the only American on the Mondeville team. However, there is a Canadian on the roster who knows French and acts as Stonewall's translator. The first day of practice, my coach was going through the plays. There is some similarities with basketball. For example, the three-man weave, everyone knows what that is. It's universal, she said. Just their language is a little different. At first, I was like, I'm not sure what we're doing. Can you explain it? Once I was out there, I was, oh, this is just a three-man weave. You guys just call it something different. It's been challenging. Stonewall's immediate goal is to pick up on the French basketball terminology for words such as switching, rebounds, handoffs, and screens, among others. Just the little things so we can communicate on the court, and then we can everyday language later on, she said. Stonewall is playing a variety of positions for USO Montville, from power forward to off guard. She is grateful the system is much the same as it was at DePaul under veteran coach Doug Bruno. As a DePaul senior, Stonewall was named the Big East Conference's Defensive Player of the Year and All Big Ten First Team for the 28-5 Blue Demons, while leading the team with a 17.4 scoring average. DePaul won the Big East regular season and tournament titles. They, Mondeville, play one big four-play outside, and they're all interchangeable, like at DePaul, said Stonewall, who was also an academic All-American. The DePaul system, I found myself playing more of the five position, center, because that's what my team needed. This time I need to be on the outside and move and dribble and bring the ball up the court. I actually like it. After the pandemic struck in mid-March and DePaul was denied the chance to participate in the NCAA tournament, Stonewall didn't pick up a basketball for a while. She was hoping to get selected in the 36-player WNBA draft in April, but wasn't picked. I had a few open gyms in June when gyms were opening back in Illinois. They were against guys, but it was like noon ball, she said. It was not very organized, but guys are a lot stronger and faster, so at least I could try to control the controllables. Even though I might not have gotten the ball from them, at least I could still work on my defense, work on my passing, and the intangibles. Stonewall said her shot has been off in France, but she isn't worried. She figures it will come back more when she starts playing games regularly. Coming to France wasn't entirely new to Stonewall. DePaul took an 11-day trip to France and Italy in the summer of 2018, while on a tour walking in the footsteps of St. Vincent de Paul, according to Stonewall. That included a stop in Caen, which is 10 miles from Mondeville, and where the Blue Demons played one of three games. You go around and explore the same places Vincent de Paul was able to explore in Caen, Paris, and Rome, said Stonewall. To come back here and be in this environment, I was very happy. Stonewall is living in an apartment in Caen with a new puppy she got 2 weeks ago. She said Caen and Mondeville are twin cities, much like Bloomington and Normal. Driving in France hasn't been a problem either, because unlike many European countries, in France they drive on the right, just like in the United States. She was also provided an automatic car, so she didn't have to learn how to drive a stick shift. Stonewall, who tentatively plans to return to Bloomington Normal for the Christmas holidays, did say it took her a while to adjust after arriving in France. The time difference, I know people warn me about it, but actually experiencing it, I don't think I slept for a whole night. I was sleeping in 4-hour increments, she said, of the 7-hour time difference. Everyone knows the language barrier is a killer. Just understanding them and communicating with them is a little difficult, but we're getting there. My goal is to at least be somewhat fluent in French. I signed a 2-year deal, so maybe not this year, but next year. And here's a state story headlined, Illinois pushes for digital equity with New Broadband Investments by Raymond Troncoso. Springfield. The Governor's Office and the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity are awarding $500,000 through existing and new state programs as part of a digital equity package. The Illinois Office of Broadband, which is based in the DCEO, is spearheading the Targeted Investment Program. The package gives modest grants to community-based and regional actors to address gaps in household access to computing devices, hotspot connectivity, and digital literacy skills. While Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration has also launched the $400 million Connect Illinois program, funded through 2019's Rebuild Illinois Capital Infrastructure Program, with the goal of expanding broadband capacity statewide by 2024, these significantly smaller grants are aimed at addressing inequalities and gaps in coverage that may not be solved simply by the growth of the state's broadband network. High-speed broadband internet is an absolute necessity for economic progress and educational attainment, but too many of our towns and counties and communities have been left out of the digital revolution, especially downstate, Pritzker said in a release. It's time for that to change. To accomplish our goals, we need resources and expertise. The digital equity investment is split between three programs, using $500,000 in state dollars alongside $250,000 in non-state funds. Broadband Regional Engagement for Adoption and Digital Equity Grants, part of the Broadband Ready program, will award organizations up to $50,000 to identify inequities in digital access and develop scalable solutions. The DCEO splits Illinois into 10 economic development regions. The Broadband Ready grants will be awarded according to how organizations plan to solve pressing digital needs in their regions. Two such areas of need are telehealth and remote learning, fields where shortcomings in broadband access has been a detriment to downstate and rural counties in the age of COVID-19. The state is providing $250,000 in grants, with another $100,000 being put forward by the Illinois Innovation Network, which is a group of public universities and community colleges that works with government agencies, businesses, and community organizations to improve the state economy. The program will act as a primer for regions to establish a framework for future broadband projects so they can compete for heftier grants offered by Connect Illinois or federal programs tied to digital infrastructure. The Digital Navigator Collaboration is another project of the Office of Broadband that will spend $100,000 on digital navigators that offer consultation for communities that struggle with home connectivity, managing devices, and other digital skills. Digital navigators will be volunteers or staff from social service agencies, libraries, and healthcare centers that can offer remote and in-person guidance to members of their community. Qualified applicants will receive training on how to assist residents. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 19th. Please stay tuned.